This is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, May 7th. I'm Audrey McCabe. A massive spring storm swept through Colorado's Front Range Tuesday into Wednesday. Denver saw more than half a foot of heavy, wet snow in parts of the metro, while the northern Colorado mountains saw nearly 3 feet of snow by noon yesterday. The Denver Post reports that the snowfall is causing concern for trees in the Front Range. Just 3 to 5 inches of wet snow is enough to break small tree limbs, while 8 inches can cause significant damage to large trees, and up to a foot could result in widespread or nearly catastrophic tree damage, forecasters said. Schools across the area closed for the day, and bad road conditions were reported. Freeze watches also covered large swaths of Colorado, including the western slope, from last night into this morning. The storm also caused hundreds of flights to be delayed and dozens to be canceled from Denver International Airport. As of 3:10 p.m. on Wednesday, 400 flights headed in and out of DIA had failed to leave the gate on time, and 35 had been canceled entirely. Russ Schumacher, Colorado State climatologist, told the New York Times, "This is finally the type of storm we've been waiting for 6 months." Though the storm is significant and strong for this type of year, experts said that it's not likely to end the historic snow drought that led ski resorts to close early and has Colorado on edge at the beginning of wildfire season. And in local government news, the Montrose City Council is changing its policy around public comment to allow council members and staff to be able to respond during the meeting. The Montrose Daily Press reports that at a workshop Monday, May 4th, Mayor Michael Badiaco explained the new rules, which he said will allow residents to ask questions about relevant items when staff can address them and dispel any misconceptions. He said, "It's a great opportunity for our citizens to be able to ask the questions when the department head is here because they've got more in-depth knowledge." For agenda items with public comment, he said, staff will present the item, then council will discuss as usual. Then, once the floor is open for public comment, residents will be able to ask questions of the council and staff, who will be able to respond and discuss if they wish. The council is not obligated to respond to comments, and the goal is discussion rather than debate. There will still be a 3-minute time limit for these interactions, and a rule still bars disorderly conduct. New photos show major damage to an archaeological site that is hundreds of years old in southern Arizona. As Nina Kravinsky reports for the Mountain West News Bureau in Hermosillo, the loss is linked to border wall construction.
The nearly 300-foot-long fish-shaped etching is approximately 1,000 years old and located in the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge. The etching is just feet from the Arizona-Mexico border in an area slated for construction of a secondary border wall to run parallel to the existing wall. New photos from the Center for Biological Diversity's Russ McSpadden show a 50-foot swath of earth near the fish's head has been scraped away.
And it was clear right away the damage is permanent.
The site is located near the Tahana Otham Reservation and the tribe's traditional lands, said tribal chairman Verlin Jose in a video on Facebook.
This was more than land. It was memory. It was identity. It was history. For us Otham, sacred sites are not just places. They are living connections to our ancestors.
A Customs and Border Protection spokesperson said a border wall contractor disturbed the site nearly 2 weeks ago, and the remaining portion will be protected. Nina Kravinsky, Hermosillo.
Back in March, KVNF reported that the Montrose County School District Board of Education voted to hire a controversial law firm. That firm, Miller Farmer Carlson Law, has raised some eyebrows among community members due to its founder, Brad Miller. Critics claim that Miller exerts a right-wing agenda on the school districts he represents, while his supporters say that he provides seasoned counsel that helps conservative boards find balance in a blue state. After the Montrose School Board hired Miller, the conversation didn't end. Several weeks later, the Delta County School Board put out a request for proposals for legal services, immediately stirring speculation that it was opening the door to Miller. His firm did not submit an application, and the decision to hire additional counsel is on hold until the vacant seat on the board is filled. Following the intense public interest in Miller, KVNF is bringing you a series of voices and perspectives on his new role in Montrose. We hope to speak with Miller directly, and he initially showed interest, but stopped responding to our requests. We reached out to Logan Davis, a reporter who has written extensively about Miller for the Colorado Times Recorder. Davis shared a tape he obtained of a panel that Miller spoke on during the 2023 Teacher Freedom Summit, so we can bring you Miller's voice. These comments were not made on the record to a reporter, but were recorded by an attendee at the event. The host of the summit, the Teacher Freedom Alliance, says that it supports the right of every educator in America to pursue excellence in the classroom free of ideological interference. Here's Miller introducing himself.
So my clients tend to be, you know, conservatives who were elected to a school board. And we look back at, you know, the Loudoun County type of videos that we've all seen about people standing and trembling and talking about the horrible things that are happening in their district. In Colorado, and I think across the nation, school boards have a tremendous amount of power.
Frequently, Miller lumps himself in with school boards he represents, saying "we" when referring to pursuing conservative policies.
It makes all the difference in the world. I get to come into a school district in Colorado, in Blue Colorado, Woodland Park. I work in Woodland Park. We adopted American Bureaucrat standards. We got rid of the MOU with the union agreement. We changed our controversial material so parents have to opt in. They have to choose into the things that might be questionable, and go right down the line with all of those things. And local boards have tremendous power in education, and we need to wield your power to get the right people there.
Notably, the Montrose School Board gained a conservative majority after last year's election. During this forum, Miller mentions that when a school board becomes more conservative, it's important that the superintendent and other employees are aligned.
2013 here in Colorado, two school boards that had been traditionally very union heavy and anti-parent, frankly, had the same sort of experience, and they hired me as board counsel. And I thought that that was a very valuable thing. I think in both cases, there were a couple other steps they needed to take. They needed to make sure that they had engaged a superintendent that's aligned with them. And I think a few other elements, the board secretary, the communications person, you know, there's different folks within the system that if they're not aligned with you, they're gonna undermine you if you're moving in a parent-friendly way. So you just gotta be very cognizant of building the structure quickly, but without being too dramatic, because our friends in the union will make out that everything you've done is crazy and it's disruptive, and they'll come in noisy board meetings and then blame you for the noise. It's a really fraught environment, and I've gone through many cycles in Colorado because we don't have a majority in a lot of places. And so when we grab it, it's quick.
The facilitator of the panel asked Miller how teachers should respond to policies at odds with their religious or moral beliefs. Here's part of Miller's response.
I think my experience in real politics, I have a brother-in-law who's in the legislature here. I know millions and millions of school board members. They don't hear much from teachers about their perspectives. And so they view you as monolithically union-oriented, and that you're for this game plan that's been imposed on us. And it's so valuable and it's so meaningful if they can hear from you as individuals saying, hey, this is hard for me. I don't want to have to be compelled to do this. It can really influence policy in my experience at the school board level.
Miller also mentioned being recalled from two school districts that he worked with from 2013 to 2015.
And by the way, very frustrating. In one of the big school districts that I got a chance to do this in, we lasted for 2 years until the union had 17 people full-time for a year go knock on doors to get us recalled, to get my folks recalled. We had 2 years to get things done, and we got rid of elements of the master agreement. We added charter schools. We had merit pay. We attacked the U.S. AP U.S. history curriculum, Fox Newsy type of thing, because it wasn't very aligned with the way we got Planned Parenthood out of the district. Those sorts of things. They recalled us in like 15 minutes later. It was all back.
Miller's statements during this panel, which were previously reported by the Colorado Times Recorder, have caused concerns that Miller intends to subject the Montrose School Board to a particular agenda. But not everyone shares that opinion. Tomorrow, we'll hear from Beth Supes and Dan Burke from the Delta County School Board for their perspectives on Brad Miller's new role on the Western Slope. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.